It's good to be with you. For our meditation today, I thought I'd draw your attention to Psalm 126. Psalm 126. And a lot of these words, you probably remember the psalm, even if you don't have it open in front of you. But it starts this way: "When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, 'The Lord has done great things for them.' The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him." And the first thing that you notice about this psalm, up as part of the label of it, is that it's one of the songs of ascents, and it refers to the going up on pilgrimage to the temple in Jerusalem. It was set at a higher elevation than the surrounding region. That's why it's called going up, even if you're going north to south. And in keeping with the Lord's command, 3 times a year, faithful Israelites would make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem to worship the Lord for his provision for him. It unified the nation with a focus on the Lord. There is the Passover connected to the Feast of Unleavened Bread. There's the Feast of Weeks, 50 days after Passover, and then the Feast of Booths in the fall, which commemorated God's provision during the wilderness years before entering the fruitfulness of the Promised Land. So, such a psalm is fitting for us as we prepare our hearts to pray or to worship the Lord. It naturally falls into two sections. Verses 1 through 3 look to the past. They remember the great joy God's people experienced when the Lord intervened on their behalf. And so let's look at those verses again. "When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we are like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, 'The Lord has done great things for them.' The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad." Some see here a reference to return from the Babylonian captivity, but the description well describes any number of Yahweh's interventions on Israel's behalf throughout their long history. All the blessings they enjoyed were from the hand of the covenant God who had made himself known to them. And as the text suggests, his blessings often came in a context of great crisis and suffering. Hence, you restored our fortunes. The deliverance was so great and that even the surrounding nations took note and gave Yahweh credit for the marvelous things that had happened. God's kind and miraculous interventions on behalf of his people didn't stop when the Old Testament was complete. He has shown his grace and his power over and over again in the New Testament and throughout church history. In fact, one of the advantages that older saints enjoy is having seen God intervene on any number of occasions in their own personal lives. And it's good for us to treasure those memories and to hold them, to remember who God is and how faithful he is. We can honestly sing now, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. I remember when I was a kid that it was hard for me to sing that because I just hadn't lived long enough to see God intervene that many times. And yet at this stage, there are lots of memories along that line. God is faithful and he's kind beyond what any of us could ever deserve. And like what is described in the psalm, sometimes the crisis has been so overwhelming and God's deliverance so amazing that it catapults us into exultation and joy that seems really too good to be true. It's like a dream. If you think about it, that's the very nature of the gospel, the news that brings joy, the good news. What it does in people and what it promises to them is, we would typically want to even call a fairy tale. The whole idea that sin could be removed from our nature, that death could be conquered, that we would enter into an eternal kingdom, that we would live forever and we would want to do so in an environment where righteousness dwells and sorrows are gone. All of that is at a level that is exuberantly joyful and like a dream. In fact, we have to work at imagining what it would be like, and yet our souls hunger for it. So treasuring the memories of God's interventions is really important. They're really the foundation of hope. From joyful memory springs joyful expectation. And that's what we see in the second half of the psalm. It's expressed as a prayer. A prayer should rise from having seen God do things in the past. Prayers rise from gratitude. And we pray for Yahweh to do again what he's done before. And so we see that in verses 4 through 6. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. And the Negev and the south of Israel is a desert land, but an outpouring of rain would turn dry stream beds into torrential rivers and would make the land green with fruitful vegetation. And that's the kind of restoration the psalmist prays for. And really, that's the kind of restoration we pray for. When we pray for genuine awakening and revival, we are praying for what God has done before. So amazing have been these times in history that they almost seem legendary or of mythic proportions, but they were real and they have lasting effect. We have every reason to pray for such interventions from God again. You read the accounts of the state of affairs, for instance, just prior to the Great Awakening here in America, called the Evangelical Awakening in England. And you would have had little hope of revival if you were alive in those days. It would feel as if it could never happen, and yet it did. And we find ourselves in such times again. The psalmist here encourages us not to lose hope. If you sow the field, you plant the crops. However hard it may be to remain faithful in doing so, however many tears you shed, there will be a harvest. Farming is tough work, but the anticipation of a harvest makes it worthwhile. And when a bumper crop comes in, there are shouts of exuberant joy. God is the one who gives the increase. He's the one that causes the growth. He uses the means. And without sowing the seed, though, there is no harvest. He uses means. Wherever we go, we have to be bearing the seed. If one day we would be coming home bearing sheaves from the resultant crop. Paul says it this way in Galatians 6, 9 through 10, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are the household of faith. While we wait and while we pray for the Lord to restore life to our generation in an extraordinary way, we do the ordinary work of bearing the seed of his word everywhere and sowing it with beneficial deeds that give it credibility and display what God has produced in us. And doing so shines the light of the gospel into the darkness. So let us pray for the Lord to send laborers into his harvest, bearing precious seed, as he has done before. Let us pray for a joyful harvest, as he has sent before. And let us pray with faith and expectation, for he has restored our fortunes before, time and time again. Let's pray.